See, that's the question. When love leaves the picture, when you come into worship, you can be thinking about everything in the world except the Lord. Randy is a good example a few moments ago of causing us to think before we had the prayer for communion. But this is about the Lord. This is about the cross. This is about the resurrection. This is about the blood that flows from the cross that cleanses us from all of our sins, even those that we are not aware. The Lord is. And in His sight, He has the power and the ability to make us pure. But do we come into the building thinking about everything but this? Are we thinking about what else there is to do, how long this is going to go, where we're going to eat afterwards, and all of those kinds of things, rather than worship? When love leaves the picture, that's what happens. But if you love coming into the assembly, and you love every word and every note that comes from these hymns, and you love those who are mentioned in prayers, and you enjoy the study to the best of your ability, the Word of God as it is being presented, the giving of your means, which is a giving of yourself, is it motivated by your love? Brother Ken said in his prayer, "We love you because you first loved us." Spiritual inventory. That was the problem at Ephesus. Great workers, persevering workers, enduring false teaching and battling it, standing up to it, not letting it advance. And yet, the Lord says, you've lost sight of love. That is the foundation of your work. It is the foundation of your endurance. It is the reason that you take a stand, even at the risk of your life, for what is right, for what is true, for what pleases Almighty God. And so when worship is done in love, it is so meaningful. We go away hopefully strengthened, encouraged. We look forward to the next opportunity. We're not seeing how minimum services that we might attend or minimum activities in which we might be involved when love is the foundation. Provides a fuller obedience to the Lord. When we go out in the work week, the rest of the week, and we are who we are, we are who we say we are who we claim we are striving to be more complete in our obedience to the Lord than we have been before. It's not that I take 50% of the gospel message, 75%, 99%, but 100% of the gospel message. What a challenge, what a struggle, and yet we grow through that from the foundation of loving the Lord. And then when we do even sacrificial service, when we give cups of cold water, when we do the very smallest of things for what some other people might describe as people who in their eyes are not all that important, you would never have such a thought when you view them as the Lord views them and you love them as the Lord loves them. You're willing to give sacrificial service. And so what does the Lord command? The Lord says in verse 5, remember from where you have fallen. I would think that the church at Ephesus would be stunned by this message. They like that commendation part, surprised about perhaps the analysis, the diagnosis, and now the command. You have fallen. I mean, you're doing good things, but you're doing them on your own accord rather than on my accord. And so you've got to return to me. You've got to repent. The heart of the gospel message, always repent, turn from what leads you away from the Lord. And thirdly, do the works that you used to do in my name. Return to what you used to do. You were faithful at one time. There are things in which you're less faithful. By the way, again, what are the things that they had done well? They had withstood those who called themselves apostles, obviously false teachers. We're not really sure who the Nicolaitans were. Some believe that they were a band of men who called themselves apostles, but who endorsed and condoned the practice of immorality as worship. And boy, did the church at Ephesus withstand them. But the Lord says, if you do not remember and repent and return, I will come to you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. One reason why that this material is so important and so relevant to the church in every time period, every generation, is because it was not just simply addressed to these first congregations. It's for the church universal until the Lord comes, as we have said. But one of the very sad things, even in being welcomed into a beautiful country like Turkey, one of our American allies, is to realize that when you go to these spots, there is no congregation of the Lord's church there. This is an Islamic country. And while they are peaceful and peaceable and kind to those who represent Christianity, they would not allow us to establish a congregation there. We asked that while we were there. Our very kind guide, a young man of 33 years of age at the time by the name of Han, never forget him, was kind in saying, probably not. What he was really saying was, absolutely not. And so you see, eventually, for whatever the reasons, the lampstands were removed. But notice the promise. There's that warning, but there's the promise. In verse 7, to him who overcomes, I grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, I do not know how anyone could write something more beautiful than that. To the one who overcomes, to him I will give to eat the tree of life in the paradise of God. Now, the question is, from Ephesus to Henderson, what does this mean? Number one, just suggestions. We have work to do. We have emphasized before, again and again, we are not just a worshiping people as much, and how important that is. I mean, there wouldn't be an assembly if all of us did not show up for worship. So that is so important, but again, the motive from which we do so. But in addition to that, we go out and we do the Lord's work in our lives, in our families, in our schools, in our work, our place of business, in our retirement. We continue to do the Lord's work. We have work to do, and we sing about that. We'll work till Jesus comes. We have a fight to be fought. I've been saying for some years, and it's increasingly true, boy, unless something happens, the gospel message is going to become increasingly unpopular. And the opposition to it grows by the day. Is it going to wear us down? Is it going to weaken our position? Is it going to make us tolerant to everything because we don't want to be considered intolerant? If we do, the one to whom we answer is our bridegroom, who says, unless you repent and return, I will remove you. And then thirdly, we have God's truth to defend. This again is very much a part of the fight in which we're involved. It is a message. It is a message of salvation. It is a message of hope. It is a message of reward. Yes, it is a message of condemnation for those who do not believe, who do not obey, who do not become members of the Lord's family. It's all of that, but it is designed to save every last person on the planet. And we must defend it. Am I a soldier of the cross? It's not just a song. But the fourth thing is, the most important thing, the reason why, is the person that we love. We did not make all of this up. There's the reality of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, who lives within us, who lives within the life of the church, who gives us the distinguishing mark of what is known as the church that is bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who strives to do everything that we do by His authority, not our own. But we've got to love Him. Let's not leave our first love. Let's repent. Let's rededicate ourselves. And let's do for the rest of our lives, as the Lord gives us breath and energy and life, all the good that we can to as many people as we can for as long as we can, in all the ways that we can. Remember again the promise to the one who overcomes. I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That is the hope of eternal life. That is the hope of heaven. And that, again, is what the gospel message is really all about. Is it about being intolerant or tolerant? Is it about just simply condemning everything and everybody? No, no, no. The message is saving everybody who will commit themselves to the one that they must learn to love. And not only in becoming a child of God, but in remaining a child of God. And that's where the story with Smyrna will pick up this evening. So this morning we sing to encourage all of us. Let's truly be a lampstand in Henderson, in Chester County, in West Tennessee, in the United States of America, and to the entire world. We have a tremendous history, but we've got to be continually dedicated to what makes that history what it is. It begins with God the Father and God the Son and our forever love for them in everything that we do. We sing this morning to encourage you if you need to respond to Him. There is someone who needs to be baptized today for the forgiveness of sins. One of the great things about the church around the world, we may not know who it is, where it is, when it's happening, but today there is going to be someone added to the Lord's church, and not just someone, but many someones. And that's every day, because the invitation of the Lord is extended 24/7, every single day that there is life. There may be someone who needs to come back to the Lord, having been out of service, out of duty, may have lost sight, may have kept in sight the vision of the church, maybe not the vision of the Lord. So you say, I want to start again and renew my love for him who first loved me. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?